con artist is in the courtroom, Mr. Mesereau, when the verdict comes down.
Monday is this year's Boston Marathon, and it will mark 5 years since a terrorist attack at the finish line where two bombs went off, killing three people, injuring over 260. City officials were hoping to have two memorials at the locations where those bombs went off in place in time for this Monday, but the Boston Globe reports city officials say those two memorials won't be ready in time and that they're still working with the victims' families and an artist to finalize their design. With one official telling the Globe it's more important to get it right than to meet an artificial deadline. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free, and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Get ready to see a lot of a fired FBI director. James Comey's book, A Higher Loyalty, is set for release on Tuesday, and he's starting a book tour with a series of network interviews. The first on Sunday night with George Stephanopoulos on ABC's 2020, a discussion during which Comey reportedly likens President Trump to a mob boss. Comey will then sit down with Stephen Colbert on Tuesday night on CBS, with The View hosts on ABC on Wednesday, as well as with Jake Tapper on CNN and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. The National Hurricane Center in Miami reporting that there are four storm names that you won't hear again connected with a storm. They are Harvey, Irma, Maria, and Nate. All officially retired, the World Meteorological Organization Region 4 Hurricane Committee taking the action because of the extensive damage that those storms caused in the United States and the Caribbean last year. Names are normally reused every 6 years, but they're retired if a storm is so deadly or destructive that future use of the name could be insensitive. And the Labor Department says fewer Americans are filing unemployment claims as last week 233,000 people filed first-time claims. That's 9,000 fewer than the previous week when experts were expecting the number to rise by 12,000 from the previous week. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how Congress is missing the point on Facebook. I'll have the five things you should never delegate as an owner. I'll have tips on how to develop an emotional relationship with your customers. And I'll have two examples of if you say it, you own it, that went bad for two very prominent people. It's Thursday, April 12th, 2018, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we start with a check of the weather. It's currently 55 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that today it'll be cloudy and windy with a high of 67 degrees and a low of 54. For tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny and much warmer with a high of 79 and a low of 58. Spring is here. And for Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny and high or warm with a high of 78 degrees and a low of 55. For Sunday, it'll be cooler with occasional rain and drizzle, high of 56 and a low of 55.
Every day, taking care of business, every way.
the current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 262.02 points to 24,451.47. The NASDAQ up to 63.12 to 7132.15. S&P 500 up 18.93 to 2661.12. Oil is down 20 cents to $66.62 per barrel. And gold down $20.30 to $1,339.70 an ounce.
Take good care of my business when I'm away every day.
Woo! All right, well, welcome to the program. Once again, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I am so glad you could join me. So glad we get to do it again and get together as we do every Thursday at noon. For the program. And I want to thank Jessica Weaver for joining me on the program last week. Jessica is a financial planner and author of the book Strong Woman, Stronger Assets. She's, as I mentioned, she's a financial planner from Somerville. And her focus in her practice is to help women in transition from either the death of a spouse or a divorce to get control over their finances. And you can listen to the show on our archive page or by looking up last week's Facebook live stream on the show's Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. So we encourage you to do that. If you're either going through those transitions or if you know of somebody who might be, that could benefit. Sometimes, as Jessica mentioned, ladies in that position, they just don't know where to go. They lean very heavily on family and friends, and you want to make sure that they're getting the right advice. So have them check out the Facebook live stream from last week for that. And then again, it's always on the archive page of our website. The Chamber of Commerce has a new website. So if you get a chance, go to that. And that will help you learn more about what's going on at the Chamber and then also with Huntington Chamber Radio. So a lot of ways for you to find out about more programming both at the Chamber level and on the radio station and look at some of the archive programs. So remember last week's program with Jessica Weaver. You just go to my show's page, Taking Care of Business. You look at the date from last week on Thursday, and then which was the 5th, and send that link to any women that you know who might be in that state of transition, divorce, separation, or death of a spouse that might need help with their finances. Speaking of Facebook likes, if you're listening to the program, there's a good chance that you're currently listening on a computer, on a mobile device, on a tablet. We would ask that at this time you open up another browser and go to Facebook and search for the page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Like and follow that page so that you can get updates midweek on anything that's happening on the program, anything business-related that may be of interest that I'll post there. That's a good way for you to stay current on what's going on both here on the program and in business news around the country. Coming up on May 3rd, I'm going to have a guest in studio. Her name is Stacey Green. She'll be my in-studio guest, and Stacey will be here to talk about Anderson House. Anderson House is a halfway house for women that is now affiliated with Turning Point, focusing on addiction recovery. And they're celebrating their 20th anniversary. Got a big golf outing coming up, so wanted to get them some publicity and promotion on how you can help support Anderson House, a great organization that helps women as they are coming out of the recovery programs and then getting back into their normal lifestyle transition. Then again, on June 7th, I'll be interviewing Mike Michalowicz. Mike is the author of the book Profit First, which can revolutionize the way you do your business accounting and actually put money in your pockets. The more I talk to business owners, the more I find that everybody's saying the same thing. I work hard. I do 60, 70, 80 hours a week. We're making sales, but at the end of the year, I don't have anything to show for it. I want more money in my pocket. And a lot of business owners complaining to me, you know, why is it that I'm working so hard and I've been doing this for several years? I don't have anything to show for it. In fact, I'm the one who's skipping the paycheck. So this will help. His program, Profit First, will help you. And I've said this before. If you're interested, if you're struggling, please go to Amazon.com, buy his book, Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. Read it before the June 7th program so that as he's talking, you'll know what he's talking about. And then hopefully you'll be able to turn around your business. We're seeing it. We've implemented this program since the beginning of March at Crown Trophy of Flemington and couldn't be happier with the results. Met Mike at a speaking engagement that he had in Somerville or in Bridgewater a couple of weeks ago. Listened to his program. It made even more sense. And then, of course, Now we'll have the interview with him on June 7th. He also has a thing called ProfitCon, which is in September, I believe, late September, up in Morris County. And Brandon and I are thinking of going up there for a three-day event, learn a little bit more, do a deeper dive into the program. But most people, just to give you a brief synopsis, most people that run a business have one checking account. And so what they do is all the money that comes in goes into that account, and then everything gets paid out of there. Your payroll gets paid out of there. Your taxes get paid out of there. Any credit card debt, vendor debt, it all gets paid out of there. What Mike is proposing is that you set up six different bank accounts, one for profit, one for taxes, one for owner's pay. Remember that? Owner's pay, that reason that you got into this business in the first place? One for royalties, one for operating expenses, and one for income. And then you create both targeted allocation percentages and current allocation percentages until you can get to a certain level where you don't feel that pinch. And what we're noticing is we are paying down a lot of debt. We always have money in the owner's pay account, so I don't have to worry about payroll. We're getting paid. There's never going to be another time when I say, I can't take a paycheck this, you know, pay period. Everybody will get paid. So it's all good. And again, the book is called Profit First. The show will be on June 7th. I'm going to promote the heck out of this because I think with all of the phone calls, all of the emails that I'm getting from people that are running businesses that are struggling financially, if there's ever a program I think that will put you back on the right track and probably reverse the curse, so to speak, and get you profitable within a year, this is it. So I'm all on board, and I hope you'll join me there. Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. You're going to want to order that book from Amazon.com. Business Quote of the Week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. Today it comes from Conrad Hilton, the founder of the Hilton Hotel chain, when he said, "Success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit." Love that. You know, we've talked about on the program over the last few months the need to fail. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But you have to learn from those mistakes. It's okay to fail. It means you're trying to do something new. It's okay if something doesn't work. You can tweak it and bring it back, or you can abandon it altogether. But you're always trying something to improve. So success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. Again, that from Conrad Hilton. Currently, it's 12:13. So I want to take a couple of seconds, couple of minutes here to talk about, I used to do this a lot on the program. It was what I called the apology tour, and I would play Brenda Lee's I'm Sorry. And it just got to the point where every week I had to keep playing I'm Sorry, and I think I had to eventually apologize for that because I was getting tired of playing that song. Because it seemed like everybody, all celebrities, politicians, things like that, were always doing something stupid, saying something stupid, and then they would walk it back, and they'd end up, you know, apologizing for what they say. And now this week, over the last 2 weeks, we have another example of that. So first it was Laura Ingraham, who's a host on Fox News, who had to apologize to a student, David Hogg, from Parkland, Florida, for saying that he was whining about not getting into four colleges despite having a 4.1 GPA. And, you know, he went on Twitter, very smart kid. He goes on Twitter, and he asks all of her show sponsors to drop her. And he asks all of the people who are subscribed to his page on Twitter not to support her and to boycott all of her advertisers. And it worked. One by one, all of the advertisers started dropping her programming, saying that her attack on him didn't align with their philosophy. Of course, Laura comes out, realizing her show is losing a ton of money. The network is losing a ton of money. And she makes a half-hearted attempt at apologizing. And she even invokes, you know, because it was the Easter season, that because of the religious holiday, suddenly she had this enlightenment and she was going to apologize. Didn't work. The advertisers continued to leave. Now we see that Tony Robbins has found himself in hot water this week, when he had an exchange with a woman at one of his seminars about something he said with regards to the Me Too movement. Now, the 11-minute exchange was caught on video and uploaded to the internet, and then Tony had to walk back his comments. So I'm going to encourage you to first go on YouTube, and Google Tony Robbins Me Too, and you should find the video. It's about 11 minutes. There's thousands of people in this arena, and one woman gets up to challenge him on his position of the Me Too movement. Now, Tony apologized for his comments about the hashtag Me Too movement after suggesting during a March event that some women have been using it to gain significance by playing the victim. Robbins argued with a woman named Nanine McCool during a March 15th Unleash the Power Within event about how the Me Too movement is being used. McCool posted the exchange on her personal YouTube account on March 25th, and Robbins immediately faced backlash for what he said. He says, "My comments failed to reflect the respect I have for everything Tarana Burke and the Me Too movement has achieved," he said in a statement referencing the woman credited with starting the movement in 2006. "I apologize for suggesting anything other than my profound admiration for the Me Too movement. Again and again, I say this. If you say it, you own it. So don't wait for the backlash to start, to issue your apology and to walk back your comments, to save your advertisers, to save your ass, basically. You said it. You meant it." He said it in front of thousands of people in this arena, tens of thousands of people, probably 15,000, 17,000 people in this arena. When you look at the size of it, he said it. He meant it. He went on for 11 minutes. And then all of a sudden, once the backlash starts, "It's not what I meant. It was taken out of context. What I really meant to say was BS. I'm calling BS on Tony Robbins on that. If you say it, you mean it, you own it. So now you got to stand up and face the backlash. Same thing with Laura Ingraham. And remember, folks, as I have said many times before, the only person that gets rich by attending an Anthony Robbins seminar is Anthony Robbins. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime will help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me this afternoon. Lots to talk about. The world is just blowing up as far as newsworthy events, so we'll get right back into it. This week, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg faced 2 days of testimony with the Senate and Congress where he admitted mistakes were made, offered no apologies. But Congress is missing the point on Facebook, and I wanted to go through some of the points there. One thing that I really liked that one of the congressmen brought up was when he asked Mark Zuckerberg, he said, have you seen your terms of use? And all of a sudden he pulls out like an inch and a half stack of papers. And in the terms of use, he highlighted that there were 22 links to other pages that I added to the voluminous record. And then even in some of those links, there were other links. No human being in America, not even my wife who reads every contract, is going to sit there and read through the terms of use, because most people are like, I'll hit agree, I want to use Facebook, and I'm on my way. Same thing that you do when you're dealing with apps. So I'm getting increasingly baffled and disappointed by the scandal congressional rage fest surrounding Facebook. Instead of piling on Mark Zuckerberg or worrying about who has our personal data, legislators, I think, should focus on the real issue, and that is, how is our data getting used? So let's start with some ground truths that seem to be getting lost. First, Cambridge Analytica, the company that hovered up a bunch of data on Facebook users, isn't actually much of a threat. Yes, it's super sleazy, but it's mostly, sucked at manipulating voters. Two, lots of other companies, maybe hundreds, and malicious actors also collect our data. You just don't realize it as much. They're much more likely to be selling our personal information to fraudsters. Third, we should not expect that Mark Zuckerberg is going to follow through on any of the promises that he's made. He's tried to make nice before to little actual effect. He has a lot of conflicts, and he's kind of a naive robot. And fourth, even if Zuckerberg was a saint and didn't care a whit about profit, chances are social media is still just plain old bad for democracy. The politicians don't want to admit that they don't understand technology well enough to come up with reasonable regulations. They're asking Zuckerberg to create the regulations. Now that democracy itself might be at stake, they need someone to blame. Enter Zuckerberg, the perfect punching bag. Problem is, he likely did nothing illegal, and Facebook has been relatively open and obvious about their skeevy business practices. For the most part, nobody really cared until now. If that sounds cynical, I'll add that Democrats didn't care until it looked like Republican campaigns were catching up to or even surpassing them by using big data techniques. What America really needs is a smarter conversation about data usage. It starts with a recognition. Our data are already out there. Even if we haven't spilled our own personal information, someone has. We're all exposed. Companies have the data and techniques that they need to predict all sorts of things about us: our voting behavior, our consumer behavior, our health, our financial futures. That's a lot of power being wielded by people who shouldn't be trusted. Remember a couple weeks ago when I had the story about geotagging, and if your phone was on with your location services and you walked into Home Depot or Lord & Taylor, all of a sudden there'd be a message and it would tell you that something was on sale in the lumber department, or maybe there was a new saw available from Makita. It's like, how did they know that I just walked into this store? Your data is everywhere. Don't think for a second. Don't be that naive that your data isn't out there in all forms. And every time that you are entering anything, phone number, address, social security number, it's out there, and it can be used for the wrong reasons. Now, if politicians want to create rules, they should start by narrowly addressing the worst possible uses for our personal information. The ways it can be used to deny people job opportunities, limit access to health insurance, set interest rates on loans, and decide who gets out of jail. Essentially, any bureaucratic decision can now be made by an algorithm, and those algorithms need interrogating way more than Zuckerberg does. To that end, I'd like to propose a data bill of rights. It should have two components. The first would specify how much control we may exert over how our individual information is used for important decisions. And the second would introduce federally enforced rules on how algorithms should be monitored more generally. Third, there should also be huge financial penalties if these algorithms somehow get into the hands of wrong people. The individual rights could be loosely based on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which allows us to access the data employed to generate our credit scores. Most scoring algorithms work in a similar way, so this would be a reasonable model. As regards aggregate data, we should have the right to know what information algorithms are using to make decisions about us. We should be able to correct the record if it's wrong and to appeal scores if we think they're unfair. We should be entitled to know how the algorithms work. How, for example, will my score change if I miss an electricity bill? This is a bit more than FCRA now provides. Congress should create a new regulator along the lines of the Food and Drug Administration to ensure that every important large-scale algorithm can pass three basic tests. It's at least as good as the human process it replaces, and this will force companies to admit how they define success for an algorithm, which far too often simply translates into profit. First, it doesn't disproportionately fail when dealing with protected classes, as facial recognition software is known to do. Second, it doesn't cause crazy negative externalities, such as destroying people's trust in facts or sense of self-worth. Companies wielding algorithms that could have such long-term negative effects would be monitored by third parties who aren't beholden to the shareholders. Now, I'm no policy wonk, and I recognize that it's not easy to grasp the magnitude and complexity of the mess we're in, but a few simple rules could go a long way toward limiting that damage. So I think that now would be the time that the regulators have to step in and create some kind of an agency that will oversee social media. I don't want censorship, but what I want to make sure is that whatever data is being manipulated in any way isn't getting into the hands of the wrong people. But when you hear stories about, you know, if you were to visit a certain candidate's webpage, they'll label you as either a Democrat or a Republican. What if you're a Republican who just wants to see the policies of the Democrat? You could be labeled incorrectly. How they use this data to send you political ads, you see all the different ads that appear in your newsfeed, that's the kind of stuff where all I want to do is you know, converse with my friends. I don't necessarily want to be tried to be manipulated. You know, I want to see their cat. I want to see their latest cake they made. I want to see what they had for dinner. I don't necessarily want to try to be influenced by someone in my newsfeed. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at and eventually in some way regulated. Again, not at the expense of censorship. I would like to leave that out of it. So hopefully, based on all of the conversations that happened in Washington, D.C. This week, we'll be able to get some form of regulation so that not only can our personal data be protected, but there would be a huge penalty if for some reason it was used for the wrong reasons or were to fall into the wrong hands, such as with Cambridge Analytica. Let's talk for a minute about building relationships with your customers. And we have a couple of topics or a couple of thoughts on this. I've said in a lot of the conversations I've had with businesses, when I go and I'm consulting with a business, I'll watch them. How are they interacting on the phone? How are they interacting by email? And especially, how are they interacting with a customer face-to-face? And what I find is very often that the sales staff is looking to make a sale. And so the person who's on the other end of that feels simply like a transaction. There's no relationship. So many business owners focus on attracting new customers, but a strong, lasting relationship with existing customers can be a bigger boost to your sales. So again, when a person comes into your store, what are you doing to learn more about them? You know, they've come in and they're looking at, say, a pair of shoes or something, or they're looking at a dress, or they're looking at a trophy. It could be anything. What are you doing to learn more about them? You know, where are they from? How many children do they have? You know, always be listening for little clues. And I recall from, you know, my recruiting days when there was a gentleman, and I finally got a hold of him on the phone after trying for months. And he goes, "Look, I don't have much time. I just realized today is my anniversary." And I said, "Well, you know, you better get out there and go shop." And he goes, "I know. That's why I don't have a whole lot of time." So I made a mental note, and I wrote it on my calendar that, you know, for the next year, hit the day before to remind him it was his anniversary. So every year for the next 6 or 7 years, I would call him and say, "Jack, don't forget, tomorrow's your anniversary." "Oh, man, you're a lifesaver. Thank you so much." He always remembered that. When I finally got out of recruiting, I bumped into him like 2 or 3 years later. And I said, "You know, hey, how you doing? Remember me, Jim Gano?" And he goes, "Yeah, I remember you." He goes, "I also remember that ever since you left the company, that I don't get those reminders anymore, and I've missed 2 of my anniversaries." I said, "Well, that's on you, buddy." But, you know,
learning a little bit, taking a little bit of time. If a customer, if you write a handwritten note thanking them for doing business with you, if you send them a gift or some kind of a reward for doing business with you, thanking them for referrals, learning about their children. If you see something in the newspaper, their son is on a championship baseball team, clip it out, send it to them. It just makes you more human and not just another person in the transaction cycle. And that's what I want you to try to think about doing over the course of the next several weeks when dealing with your customers, and that is, how can you create an emotional bond so that it's almost harder for them to shop somewhere else, to leave you and go to the internet, because they like you and they like doing business with you? The fine line here is when you're taking that to a different extreme and suddenly from that emotional relationship, the friendly type relationship, to becoming a friend, and now later on, as they're trying to do business with you, they're doing business as your friend, not as a customer, and they expect more from you as a result. Something to think about down the road. Currently, it's 12:31, time to take a quick news break, and when we come back, we'll talk about five things you should never delegate as a small business owner. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
On Capitol Hill, a confirmation hearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at this hour for Mike Pompeo, tapped by President Trump to move from the CIA director's office to become Secretary of State, replacing fired Rex Tillerson.
I know some of you've read the story. Is I'm a hawk, I'm a hardliner, or, you know, I read that, and there's no one like someone who served in uniform who understands the value of diplomacy and the terror and tragedy that is war. It's the last resort. It must always be so. And I intend to work to achieve the president's policies with diplomacy.
After a chemical weapons attack believed to have been conducted by Syrian government forces over the weekend on civilians, President Trump tweets this morning an attack on Syria could be soon or not soon at all. Meanwhile, Syria's president's warning any such attack would only increase instability in the region. And this is USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. That's 800-455-7967.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and Crown Custom Apparel. So glad you could join me this afternoon on a beautiful spring-like day. Finally starting to see the temperature go the right direction. It's starting to get warm out there. Nice little breeze, so get out and enjoy part of this day if you can. Had a lot of interest in this next story from a couple of people when I posted it on today's promo on today's show, and the five things you should never delegate as a small business owner. Now, to inspire your employees and ensure that your company's growth, there are some critical leadership tasks that you should always handle yourself. So the other day, I was talking with one of my employees, and we were chatting about the business, and she brought up something that got me thinking. She goes, you know, what we admire most about you, and I said, what's that? She goes, well, the fact that you show up to work every single day. We know some entrepreneurs don't do the same, and we respect you more for that. The fact that you're willing to do the same work we do, to get your hands dirty, we like that as well. And so there isn't any job in my business that I won't do. I'm not above it by any means. I'm the guy that cleans the toilets, you know, CEO, chief environmental officer. And at my business, I try to be one of the first to arrive in the office, and I'm usually the last to leave. And it's all about, to me, leading by example. The truth is, if you want your employees to love your business, you have to show them that you are the first person who cares. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you need to do everything by yourself. Delegating and building systems are important. But here's what I realized after more than two decades of being an entrepreneur. There are just some things that you should never delegate as a leader. So here are the top five things that you should always do as the head of your business. The first of which is to sell your vision. Now, if the only time you mention your vision is during those annual speeches, you're doing it all wrong. Instead, you should talk about your vision on a daily, weekly, monthly basis and remind the staff about what you're working toward and rally your team to help them turn your vision into a reality. For example, I reach out to my employees regularly, and all you have to say is, this is where we're going, this is how you matter, this is where you fit in that process. Even a few minutes of your time is enough to get people fired up to do their best work for you. You also want to invest in your company's culture. That's the second tenet here. Now, a business's success depends on whether its employees are happy, whether their skills are being utilized, and whether they're empowered to grow and learn. And that means that you want to constantly think about your culture, how to hire the best people, how to empower your teams, how to give your teams a great working environment, and so on. The third is you want to champion your hiring decisions. Now, if your business is rapidly growing, it might be hard for you to sit in on every hiring interview, but you should absolutely make time if you can, because the right or wrong people will decide your business's fate. And I'd argue that, yes, you can definitely make time. If Elon Musk, who runs four companies, can find the time to interview every SpaceX candidate, what excuse do you have? In growing my business and ensuring that we hire only the best customer-facing employees, I've personally interviewed every candidate. If you're really squeezed for time, make sure that at least during the interview, candidates for the most important positions in your business are seeing you as well. Number four, you have to be the one who's going to step up during a crisis. Now, when hard times come, be the one in the front row. Never delegate firefighting to your senior management, or worse, get a PR person to step in and communicate with the public. There will be haters, but at least at the very least, you will gain the respect for owning up to your business's mistakes. When an Airbnb host's home was trashed by irresponsible guests, CEO Brian Chesky wrote a sincere letter apologizing to her and also extended a $50,000 property guarantee to protect her and other hosts from property damages. Airbnb didn't tank after that one mistake. Far from it. They course-corrected, they moved on, and have been a phenomenal success ever since. In short, when you have a business crisis, get everyone in the room, ask for their opinions, but be 100% responsible for the tough decisions. And number five, keep on hustling. At the end of the day, you want to be working the hardest in your business. When you're down in the trenches with your team, working your ass off, they will appreciate it. And as a leader, recognize that you have huge influence. If you only arrive at your office just in time for lunch and you don't bother to work closely with your team, you can bet that even your best performing employees will start letting their standards slide as well. On the other hand, if you show your team that you're all in, they'll adopt the same attitude and give 100% to your business. So those are the five tips on the things you should not delegate. One of the things that I would add to that is the focus on quality. It has to be top down. You know, there's cliches out there about setting the bar high and things like that, and that's all well and good. But it's not about where you put the bar. It's who's going to hold that bar up. And if your work is at a high level of quality, and if you look at the work being done by your staff and it's not measuring up, hit the pause button. Reset. Make sure they understand why quality is so important and why it's important to the company on the bottom line side. Then, you know, make sure they're focusing on that all the time. This is where we want to be. This is where we are. How are we going to get here? And make sure that everybody's focused on that. And the difficult part of that is that if someone won't come up to your level of standards, your level of quality, there isn't one person in the world who's worth it. Get rid of them and find somebody who will. You do that once or twice, the rest of your staff will know you're serious about quality. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. A lot of questions lately about the Amazon effect and how it impacts small businesses and whether or not there's a way to compete with these large retailers that are now getting into next day delivery, sometimes same day delivery. So does your business need, excuse me, to get into the delivery business as well? So if your small business fails to maintain a respectable pace in the Amazon-dominated delivery race, you might as well just drop out of the race. But it's been said that businesses must innovate if they hope to avoid death. And in the retail sector, that's never been truer. So when it comes to merchandise delivery, retailers that don't monitor the latest delivery innovations at Amazon, Target, and Walmart could find themselves delivered to an early grave. Amazon, of course, is a pioneer in delivery and is the retailer that everyone else is chasing in that regard. But Target and Walmart are no slackers in the delivery department either. In a $550 million deal, Target recently acquired a startup whose technology will help the retailer roll out same-day delivery. Meanwhile, Walmart is testing the ability to enter a customer's home and deliver packages and even put away grocery purchases. So why should you closely track what Amazon, Target, and Walmart are doing if you're a small business as it impacts delivery? Well, this trio has the money, the infrastructure, and the incentive to deliver on the promise of the delivery revolution. And as with any company that's trying to be on the cutting edge, they're doing the testing and more testing. In a November call with Wall Street analyst John Mulligan, who's an executive vice president at Target, said that in a test of same-day delivery at four New York stores, there's been no pushback about the same-day delivery charge. They want it priced right, they want the convenience, and they understand there may be a charge to get it to them in the time that they want during the day. Steve Schmidt, who's a VP of Investor Relations at Walmart, told Wall Street analysts in November that a number of delivery initiatives are underway, such as tapping employees to make home deliveries of merchandise ordered online. I think you'll see us use the test, take some swings, see what works, and expand and fail fast on some initiatives too. Consumers have a desire. They want it now, and they're getting spoiled. So if you have a product or you make a product and you tell them, I'll have this for you in a week, that's too long anymore. It used to be great. You know, you used to expect to wait 3 weeks. Now it's, you know, I need it now. A 2017 survey by Convay, a startup that provides a delivery management platform to retailers, proves just how vital delivery is keeping customers happy and keeping them coming back. The Convay survey found that 40% of consumers rank delivery as the number one factor in their online shopping experience, and during the holiday season, 52% of shoppers said they emphasized the certainty of a delivery date over the cost of delivery. So, as Convay explains, fast and free delivery remains a priority for consumers, but assurances about when and how goods are delivered carry a lot of weight as well. Many shoppers perceive that retailers aren't upholding their end of the bargain. The survey showed that nearly 60% of shoppers are unimpressed by the retail delivery experiences. Meeting your customers' rising shopping and delivery expectations is no small feat in an omnichannel world that gives them more choices than ever before, according to Radial, a provider of technology and omnichannel retail. If they don't receive their orders when, where, and how they want them, consumers will likely take their business elsewhere. So what about the scorecard? Are omnichannel retailers gaining ground in delivery? Generally, the answer is yes, but some retailers are outpacing others. A 2016 study by Internet Retailer found that the average delivery time for a typical order from 238 online retailers had dropped from 8.3 days in January of 2014 to 5.1 days in April of 2016, and that's a decrease of nearly 40% in just 2 years. Undoubtedly, overall delivery performance has improved even more, with retailers like Target and Walmart pushing to catch up to Amazon. And if you look at the Internet Retailer study, though, you get a sense of who could be making the greatest strides on delivery times in 2017. JCPenney, the department store chain, whopped 4.6 days from its delivery time from 2014 to 16. Best Buy cut its delivery time by 3.5 days. And like Target, the high-end department store chain dropped 3 days off its delivery time from 2014 to 2016. Macy's dropped 2.9, and Walmart notched a 2.5-day improvement. While those numbers are impressive, these retailers and their omnichannel rivals still have their work cut out for them. The results of a 2017 survey by a PR agency, Walker Sands Communications, makes that abundantly clear. 80% of the shoppers surveyed by Walker Sands picked free shipping as their top incentive for making more online purchases, with fast shipping at number two. Additionally, 13% of consumers indicated they ordered something via same-day delivery, which was up 9% since 2016. These consumer sentiments are being vocalized as Amazon's influence continues to set consumer expectations in a new era of commerce, according to Walker Sands. In that survey, 84% of shoppers said they made an Amazon purchase in the previous year, and 55% said they are Amazon Prime members. So the question here is, can you, in a small business environment, compete with the larger retailers? And the term that's been used is the Amazon effect. In our business at Crown Trophy and Crown Trophy headquarters, we want to get to within 24 hours of completing an order. It's kind of hard to do sometimes at the store level, but we try. And initially, we used to tell our staff, going back 8 or 9 years, even if we could do it in a day or two, let's not get them used to that, because then they'll expect it all the time. And now we're telling them, get it done, call them up, tell them it's ready, because that's going to keep them coming back. And we don't want to get into a competition with a Walmart or an Amazon, because we want to be able to get them their product as quickly as possible. So another way to combat that is, as you make the product, continue to keep the communication lines open. We just had an interesting one this morning where a young lady ordered some plaques for a local university, and we sent her a picture of the plaques. We know she can't come in to pick up until Friday afternoon, but we sent her a picture of the plaques, and she was ecstatic, you know, texting us back how great they looked and all stuff. So in her mind, she knows the job is done. She just has to pick it up. It's done ahead of schedule, and it kept her happy. And we're going to do a little bit more of that with other customers as time goes on. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask the question, should your business be on Yelp? We'll be right back after this.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host, also available on WHCRDB. For those of you with digital players, look us up there and take us along with you as you go about your day, hopefully on this partly cloudy day, but with temperatures rising. Should get into the 60s this afternoon, so get out and enjoy it. This is a question I've wrestled with for a long time. I've even had people that I know that work for the company, and I've not always been sure that this is the right platform. But the question is, should your business be on Yelp? The customer review site is not for everyone, and there's 7 tips I have that will help you decide the best use Yelp could be to your business. We've all heard the horror stories about people getting bad reviews and getting bashed, and that could be like in the restaurant industry. You have a new chef, it doesn't taste as good, people bash the restaurant, and suddenly the restaurant closes 3 months later. Yelp may be the most polarizing site out there for small business owners. Either love it or you hate it. And some local companies have benefited from the site's customer reviews, while many have given up in frustration and never looked back. So how do you decide if Yelp is right for you? So when determining your digital marketing goals, it's important to understand the benefits and drawbacks of using Yelp. Many small business owners are unaware of Yelp's guidelines, for instance, so they can get frustrated when a positive review loses its Yelp recommendation or when an uploaded photo's quality is lacking. Other small business owners allocate an unnecessary amount of time and effort to their Yelp profile, causing their other important business listings and social media pages to suffer. Is your business listed on Yelp? You can certainly find out for free. Just go on Yelp, yelp.com, type in your business name, type in the town, and see. If you don't see pictures and you don't see like your hours, things that you would have had to do to update it, chances are that you're not really listed. So how do you list a business on Yelp? Now, Yelp requires businesses to have a website in order to create a new Yelp listing, or that Yelp requires new businesses to have been open for over 1 month before creating a listing. These guidelines and more are available on Yelp Support Center, and you can read more about that at Yelp.com. Number two, Yelp is not right for every business. And because Yelp lists a number of limited number of business categories and it's used by customers to search for a specific type of companies, the site might not be for everyone. Business-to-consumer companies typically fare better than business-to-business. Even though Yelp might not work for every business, the site isn't just for restaurants and retailers, as you might assume. Many businesses on Yelp are categorized as financial services, education, home services, health and medical, and more. And you can find a complete list of Yelp business categories when you go to the website. So how do you manage your listing on Yelp? Now, once you determine if Yelp has a category that fits your business, you can add more information to your profile to let customers know what makes your business unique. Randy Mitchelson, who's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing of iPartner Media, urges business owners to spend adequate time filling out their complete profile on Yelp. Critical information such as hours of operation, especially holiday hours, physical address, menu, or detailed description of products and services can all be displayed to make it easier for people to do business with you. Mark Nicholson of Nice Job adds that the info should be consistent with your listings on other directories. The name, address, and phone number, often referred to as NAP, should be the same across all of your business listings, he said. Failure to do so can create confusion when other data sources are seeing variations, and this can affect your success with local search results. So what are Yelp's rules about recommended reviews? Certain customer reviews are selected by Yelp to be recommended reviews. This is a prominent way for potential customers to see both previous customers' experiences and your response as the business owner. Yelp has guidelines to determine which reviews will be recommended on business profiles, including the activity of a Yelp user who has left the review. Yelp monitors reviews to make sure they aren't malicious or inaccurately portray the business or its services, and they will also remove a review if a user has been inactive on Yelp for a certain amount of time. Even if a Yelp user has left you a positive review that accurately describes the experience with you, the review will be removed from recommendations if the user hasn't been active on Yelp. Yelp's recommended reviews do change over time, so you may see a change in the recommended reviews on your listing. And it's also important to note that Yelp does not provide more favorable recommended reviews to paid advertisers, but rather treats all Yelp listings recommendations equally through their automated software. So before you encourage your customers to leave you a Yelp review, make sure to watch a video that's out there on Yelp's review policies. You can find that on YouTube or on Yelp's website. You also want to use Yelp reviews to show off your quality customer service. Now, as on all platforms, you should make sure to respond to all customer reviews with your Yelp profile receives, good and bad. Just do it professionally, including those negative reviews. This is an opportunity to showcase your customer service and willingness to resolve issues professionally, according to Mitchelson. Yelp offers a platform to receive feedback about your business. Receive it as a gift. Say thank you and invite the person back. Offer a personal phone call to anyone who is unhappy so you can address the details offline. Your first reaction to receiving a negative review should not be to have it removed. If you feel that your Yelp profile receives a review that is inappropriate or from a competitor trying to harm your business, you can then report that review. Yelp will investigate reported reviews, but doesn't guarantee that all reported reviews will be removed. Now remember, Yelp is a public platform. Other potential customers will see what you write in response to a negative review, so you do not want to appear thin-skinned or rude. Don't take it personally, Mitchelson said. Avoid defensive responses in the post. Don't air your dirty laundry. Demonstrate your outstanding customer service by offering to resolve any issues professionally and amicably. Now, while Yelp reviews may not have as much impact on your overall search engine ranking as Google My Business reviews or Facebook reviews, it is still helpful to have reviews on as many platforms as you can to get customers to leave them. You also want to add high-quality photos to your Yelp listing. Any photo of your business should be professional and high quality. Blurry photos or images that are difficult to understand are harmful for your business listing on Yelp because they make your business appear unprofessional and they don't showcase your work properly. And finally, don't waste a whole lot of time on Yelp. While a listing on Yelp might be helpful for a business in order to showcase photos and great customer reviews, it should not come at the cost of sacrificing the quality of your Google My Business and Facebook listings. Setting up your Yelp profile, regularly responding to reviews, and occasionally adding a new photo shouldn't take up much of your time. It will take time to properly set up a Yelp listing, and it should be updated as soon as information changes, but shouldn't take up much time after the initial setup, maybe an hour each week or so to check in and respond where needed, advised Jessica Molina, who's the owner of Molina Relations. So a couple of points there. You know, I'm currently working with a social media company that's helping us on a number of different platforms, and they were insistent that I be on Yelp. I told them I didn't really care for Yelp, and they explained to me why it was so important, and it makes sense. So now we are on Yelp. People are leaving reviews, and they're helping in the response. And again, it comes back to that professional response. That's what you want to be doing, never attacking a customer or their habits as it pertains to when they were in your store, always offering to make good on their complaints. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HardinChamberRadio.com. In sports, in NASCAR news last Sunday, Kyle Busch won the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at Texas Motor Speedway, and this week the teams travel to Bristol, Tennessee for the Food City 500 on Sunday at 2 p.m. on Fox. Chase Elliott will be without crew chief Alan Gustafson for the next two races after a post-race inspection violation last week. In Major League Baseball, the Red Sox, Twins, and Angels lead their divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Pirates, and Diamondbacks lead their divisions in the National. In the NHL, the playoffs are underway, and the Penguins, Jets, and Golden Knights each have a one-game lead over their opponents. The rest of the first-round action continues tonight. Locally, the New Jersey Devils will play the Tampa Bay Lightning starting tonight at 7 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HardinChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Mike Pompeo is currently the director of the CIA. Currently, he is testifying in front of a Senate Foreign Relations Committee today. President Donald Trump did nominate him to be the next Secretary of State. Let's take a listen to a portion of the confirmation hearing today dealing with Russia.
Listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy just to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again. It feels like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just